Greetings and welcome to the Mount Rushmore podcast. My name is Jeff and I'm joined as always by my good buddies, Richard.
Hello.
And Michael.
Howdy.
And I have some other good buddies here who are joining us. They are good buddies in real life, but also competitors in the world of podcasts because they have a tremendous podcast called What Yin's Talking About. Did I get that right? They are Kyle
Yes, you did, Greg.
Mm-hmm. Kyle and or Greg, tell us about your podcast.
Jeff, thank you for having us. Mm-hmm. Yeah, What Yin's Talking About is the conversation about the Pittsburgh Steelers social media conversation where we expose all the hot and toxic takes among Steelers fans or in so-called fans. And I guess just frenemies as well.
well, basically, I mean, it's people go on to social media and they yell about the team, whether they're fans or not. And it's such a toxic, horrible place continuously. And our podcast seeks to reflect that and try to make the conversation better, which, of course, is an impossible task, but hopefully an entertaining one.
That's awesome.
And you know, right now is our special coverage, in fact, because mm-hmm. we're celebrating Steelers. You know, everyone else is doing March Madness. We're doing Steelers March Madness, aka March Sadness, in which we're taking the 64 saddest moments in Steelers history and having them face off until there is only one, Highlander style or March Madness style.
That is,
and you awesome. Might wonder why are fans, you know, like us doing a thing about, you know, the worst things that happen in team history. And that's because it's better than talking about mock drafts. It's better than talking about the yeah. same stupid thing that everyone else is. So absolutely, it's an improvement upon that.
Kyle, Greg, have you guys found that there is a particular year that stands out and does it have its own like chunk of like the bracket? You just like, you know, segregated it off to like, this is the year of, 2013. It's just particularly brutal or whatever particular year it was.
Well, Kyle actually broke it. Yeah, no, you go first.
You might understand it more simpler than my complex algorithm.
Well, I was just going to say what Kyle did, it was so smart, was that he broke it into the actual moments themselves. And so many of them happened within bigger games that the team did not win. Mm. We're of the opinion, I don't want to speak for Kyle, but I believe you are, that losing in a conference championship game is so much worse than losing in a Super Bowl. You lose in a Super Bowl, you've won your conference, everyone gets a t-shirt, everyone gets a picture with a trophy, even if it's not the trophy, whereas in the conference championship you lose that, no one gets to go anywhere or do anything, and only the true fans remember. So many of the moments we covered as in the worst things were losses in games that are very big, but for the most part in our culture have been lost to the sands of time.
Yeah.
You know, or all those moments, things that make you go as we used to say, right? No one. Okay, no CNC. Oh,
wait,
no,
we remembered it. Yeah. We remembered it.
Yeah, we're there.
We said that all the time.
It's funny, I get it. Yeah. Yeah.
And then I would also mm-hmm. say, friends, how many of us have them? That's right, friends.
Yeah.
So I want to say, if there are sports non-fans who are running from the show right now, don't do that, because Kyle and Greg are also stand-up comics, very funny people, and this discussion will may likely expand to just things generic to Pittsburgh in general that are not sports related. So
I won't bring up another sports man for the rest of the show. How about that?
Okay.
Or woman or person.
Okay. All right. But make sure to tell our listeners again about your podcast, because they may need special assistance in spelling Yin's in order to find it. Add in the podverse.
Yin's is a noun, Y-I-N-Z. noun, also a synonym with Yuins or Yous or Y'all.
Okay. All right, sweet. So it is the Mount Rushmore of Pittsburgh is the topic. You were the guests, Kyle and Greg, so you get to go first, so have at it.
Greg, may I? May I take the first?
I was sure hoping you would.
May I be the Barry Bonds of our... I said no more sports reference. Okay.
I was going to say Andrew McCutchen, but yeah, that's fine too. Okay.
All right. Well, people may not know this, but I think that maybe the biggest in a thousand years, or let's just say 100 years, the biggest cultural impact, or the thing that may still be around that was born in Pittsburgh, may be the zombie movie, the genre of zombie. And I think the birth of modern zombie, or at least the the archetype of the zombie movie was born in Pittsburgh, and I'm putting George Romero on the Mount Rushmore, the director, of course, of Night of the Living Dead and Dawn of the Dead.
Yes, of course. Well, Night of the Living Dead, done at Westmoreland County. Was at the graveyard. It starts there. It was filmed in the area. And that's the Westmoreland County Mall where they did Day of the Dead. And yeah, zombies are, I mean, it's, I know it comes to technically from the hoodoo religion or something like that, but they are a uniquely Pittsburgh creation. That's an excellent choice.
And was Romero's big task convincing people outside of Pittsburgh that this wasn't indeed a documentary?
Or, well, I, you know, not to spoil it, if you haven't seen it yet, I mean, gosh, you can buy it off of a grocery store rack, but you know, real villains aren't the zombies. Maybe it's the Yinzers. Maybe if this took place in Manhattan or somewhere else, you know, maybe that, maybe that's a different villain, but certainly the you know, the without the Western Pennsylvania trope, maybe there's a, maybe it's a less villainous story.
Cool.
And that maybe Ben Romero could have hung on to the copyright too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is the tale that supposedly put
such a nice pick? I, my first thought of this is how this really opened the door for so many like action movies in the future that just took glee from killing like a massive amount of like mindless people and creatures and aliens. Just made it so easy. You could just kill anybody. I think of like all these, you know, superhero movies where they have like this onslaught of, I don't know, bugs and creatures and things.
Yeah, it's the Chitauri, the Necro army. Yeah.
Whatever it is, it comes into town and people just kill it. And they think of them as just some sort of like mindless zombie or slave or something that doesn't have a real brain. So it's like, it's not a real person. It doesn't have a well, they're kind of dressed up like somebody. It doesn't really have a family. You can just slaughter it. And I love that zombie movies. This pick in general just like really opened the door to just Marvel dominating things for the past 20 years.
Okay. So Michael and Richard, what's your response?
Yeah, I'll go first, Michael, if that's kosher with you.
Sure.
And I am under no obligation to not mention sports, people, places, or things. So I will go with the, unquestionably the greatest sports moment in Pittsburgh history. I'm, of course, talking about the release of the movie, The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh.
No,
not talking about that. I am talking, of course, about the Immaculate Reception. 1972 playoffs between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the then Oakland Raiders. Just as if you're not a sports fan, it's a fourth down play where Terry Bradshaw throws a pass intended for Frenchie Fuqua, the fullback. He is hit by Jack Tatum. The ball ricochets. And Franco Harris mysteriously appears as if teleported to pick the ball up right before it hits the ground and run in for the game-winning touchdown. It has been voted the number one play in NFL history countless times. I think what intrigues me about this is that a lot of cities have their own single play or single sports moment that kind of summarizes sports in that city. And Michael, I guess for us in Los Angeles, it'd probably be what, the Kirk Gibson home run?
Sure. Oh, yeah.
So, and for me, when I think of Pittsburgh sports, I can think of a lot of great achievements, great players. But this is a very specific moment that sort of just, even though I wasn't born when this play happened, it's still such a legendary play.
Is it considered that within the confines of Pittsburgh, gentlemen?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's when you go to formerly Heinz Field, now Acrisure Stadium, there is a interactive display and inside the stadium itself where the entire, you know, hear the call and it all lights up in front of you. What I didn't realize as a child growing up and hearing about it from my parents, the way, you know, stories are passed down through generations is that the rules at the time were if the ball could not bounce off of an opposing player and then you catch it and have it still be in play. And that's, and none of the camera angles that survived, allegedly there are those that have been lost to time, showed that it did not hit Tatum. It didn't hit the ground. It was a perfectly legal play, even though that's part of the mystique of it, is that, you know, there are whether it's conclusive or not and all that kind of thing. But yes, I mean, it's considered within Pittsburgh to be that. It very well could be, you know, the only home run in the bottom of the ninth, the game seven of the World Series in 1960, Bill Mazeroski against the Yankees. But the immaculate reception, and in large part because of the dynasty that followed, is very much considered the number one play there. Yes.
And here's how you know its cultural impact. If you ever visit Pittsburgh and you land at the airport, they've got two statues greeting you, and it's George Washington, who was a young general turned, president, and Franco Harris next to each other. Now, you know, you tell me the difference. I mean, one owned the Bengals, one owned
slaves. I love it. I'm sorry, Kyle. That was your punchline. I apologize.
No, that's fine. I'm glad you took it there. I wasn't sure how far I could.
Okay.
I think this play, too, also just really benefits from just amazing branding. I mean, just the name itself has been so, so iconic. You think of like other. Like sports teams, and they try to put their own spin on it, not to like kind of crap on Philadelphia, but everything they do with like the tush push that they have over there, that they've tried to rebrand the brotherly shove, is just really, really sad compared to the type of play that this has been known for. I mean, whether it's the drive, like these iconic things that come out and just stand the test of time. And I think that has really kind of played into its kind of legend over, 40, 50 years? Oh, my God. How long?
Mm-hmm. 60 years, 51 years, right? 52 years this year.
All right. Hey, let's go back to our What Yin's Talking About podcasters. And what is your second choice, gentlemen?
Greg, go ahead.
Want me to go? Okay. I'll go. I mean, it's you mentioned the name of the team. I mean, it's hard to go if we're going to the all-time steal. That's what put the city on the map. Oh, okay. That's why there were three rivers. That's why all of this exists. So much of why so many people came to the city and it grew up in the first place as big as it did was the steal. That wasn't necessarily perfect for the city the whole time. I mean, so much of the story of, the 70s and all that were jobs leaving when steel was no longer so big or they found other options. But the city rebounded from that as well. And now has been America's most livable city for, what is it, like five of the last 15 years or something like that. But yeah, I mean, it's the reason, we're talking about so much about the city and it's so many generations came there in the first place was steel. I mean, one time I was trying to write a TV pilot that took place in a late 1800s blast furnace. And just so much of my research came about, that Pittsburgh was like, it's a major city now, but at the time it was one of the biggest cities in the country because people were coming from all over the world there because there were jobs. I mean, it was 12 hours a day, but they were jobs and, everything, so much of what's happened in Pittsburgh since and it being an area comes initially from steel.
To the point where in your stockings, you get, you get a yard of steel in your stockings. Just abundant. Hole in your stockings. It's like, I've been good this year. What? Hold it. My
yay. Yay. Cooled. It's the red hot stuff that's like really hard to deal with.
You want to talk about steel is kind of a innovation of man. However, you needed the tools of nature to come, you needed the coal near the waterways and, the triumvirate of the Ohio River, that could ship things all the way down into the Mississippi. It was
confluence.
It's a confluence of man-made technology with what Mother Nature blessed us with.
I love it. You guys should, after you do your podcast, form a children's museum or something like that, educational experiences. But the auspicious
in a few hundred feet of a children's museum.
All right. Michael and Richard, what do you got?
My next choice. I don't know if this is Richard's too, but whatever.
I'm yoked to you now, Michael. So.
Thank you. I don't know if I'll ever go to Pittsburgh, but I feel like I've been there for how much I've listened to famed podcaster, sports talk guy, Dave Damashek, who you guys
know. Oh, there you go.
I love me some Dave. Dave, I've been listening to for probably, 15 years, and I feel so connected to the city of Pittsburgh because of the way he has just this intense love for his city, even though he's moved out of it. There, the feeling that he just generates when he talks about the Steelers or the Pirates, less the Buccos, but the Pittsburgh Penguins, the way he talks about like Permanente sandwiches, the way he talks about just everything is like, I've enjoyed this city that I don't know if I'll ever visit just because of, I don't have any, there you go. Look at that.
How'd you get turned on to him 15 years ago?
I must have listened to him, unfortunately now these days, when he was like part of Adam Carolla's show. And then, and then he and another pal of his, Dave Feeney, had the Daves of Thunder podcast, which was Dave and Dave, which is very funny. But that only lasted a few years. And then he went on to like the NFL Network, where he talked about football and pies and nonsense and ranking foods and all these bits that he's done over the years. But I think because of he's like this LA transplant that never got over where he came from. And I think so much we see in Los Angeles, I'll speak to that, is you have these friends and people who have moved here from someplace else that can't let go of their hometown roots. Mm-hmm. Like we have a good friend, former guest of the show, Scott, who's from Kansas City, much like Jeffrey here. And Scott is just as a Kansas City person with the love of his small burg as possible. And I feel that same sort of affinity when I listen to Dave talk about the Monongahela and the Allegheny and the Ohio River. And I'm sure you've heard his bits just coming in and how he talks about the Steelers and the steel that built the battleships that defeated the Nazis and all this stuff that, you know, his constant hate for the Baltimore Ravens and all that stuff. Like everything about him like feels like so true. But he's also this guy that's been here in LA for so long that I think he understands both worlds, which I think that it's a really appreciative, but I think I've understood the city a little bit because of this one particular person and their love for the city.
Well, that's really cool. I feel like that for me, I don't know, like John Waters is kind of my entree to Baltimore. And it sounds like Dave Damashek is kind of somebody who kind of helps you see the wonderful aspects of that city. I would be worried if I was, Damashek is now kind of up against a mineral in terms of iron. So, but you know, that's just like so.
Steve Roosevelt of your Rushmore. That's the very current
okay.
pick.
Okay. Okay. Cool. All right. Well, hey, we are at our halftime and we're going to ask you to follow two podcasts. First, the Mount Rushmore podcast, which can be heard on all available platforms. And we have our little social media stuff out on all the different things, Truth Social, Periscope, all the current ones.
MySpace.
MySpace. Yes. Yeah. All the up to date ones, Friendster. And then also, we'd love for you to follow what Yin's talking about. Where can listeners find this podcast?
That's a great question. You know, can you find it? That's I don't know. I when I search Yin's, usually is the easiest way, although there are others out there now. But you know, we're on all the things. If you're into Steelers, you got to be into Steelers. That's the warning. If you're not into Steelers, you're not going to be into the pod. So if you are into Steelers, what Yin's talking about, you should already know. If you're into Steelers and you haven't heard of us yet, then that's our fault.
Right. Well, although you can find us on YouTube.
Sweet. So you are a video podcast as well. So
YouTube, but if you want audio, it's we have all those, you know, platforms as well, including iHeartRadio I Hate Radio, you know, whatever.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome, gents. Well, now we're going to get into our second half. And so I guess it's back to Greg, maybe for the third choice of Mount Rushmore of Pittsburgh. Kyle for Mount Rushmore of Pittsburgh.
Me? All right. I want to go to, No one ever calls him Pittsburgh Jesus, but maybe it's time to trademark it now, right here.
Oh, you beat me to it.
There is a soul and a spirit that emanates from Pittsburgh across the entire country. Maybe not as bright today as it was 20 to 30 years ago, 40 years ago. I'm talking about Dr. Fred Rogers.
Oh, yay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yay. All right.
Michael and I discussed this before the podcast. So that was on our list of potential choices.
And why did you choose Fred Rogers, Kyle? And we'll find out why Michael Richard did not.
It's just the philosophy, you know, it might be a lost philosophy now. You only see it maybe on some tweets in your timeline once and again, but there is a philosophy behind his show, and it is one of inclusion and love and everything that is not television today, or culture today, or, you know, there could be more. You know, how come we can't reboot or spin off Mr. Rogers? Instead, we've got 10 Fast and Furious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed. I think he's also, wasn't he an ordained?
Or yeah,
he was
minister.
Presbyterian minister, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who was essentially he was assigned to television. So we think of all these people who their egos have propelled them to have the visibility that television provides. And this gentleman was so humble that was something that he just said, Fred, you got to do this. Okay, I guess. So there's not many of those voices up there. So, okay, Richard and Michael, why do you hate Mr. Rogers?
I don't think there is any hate whatsoever. I think that...
on the ropes. Boy, they're waffling.
but against the ropes. I think that there is definitely an extension of his brand and his gentleness is extended into so many different shows. My son has grown up watching
Daniel Tiger.
Thank you, Daniel Tiger. And but unfortunately, he couldn't go back. Like, we tried to get him to go back and watch some old, like, Mr. Rogers things, but he understood, no, I like the cartoon Tiger. And he's like, yeah, but it's the same. The song's kind of the same. And they came from, you know, the land of make-believe. And he's like, no, I'm done. You know, at two and a half years old, he's checked out of Mr. Rogers because of, unfortunately, he's not an animated tiger. But I think that his brand of understanding and gentleness and kindness really does reverberate, and there's something that you know, with a toddler, we loved him watching anytime. You know,
I would say that is one thing that I, in hindsight, think was very charming. But I would say Mr. Rogers sucks at puppets, like King Friday. They all sound like your first attempt at coming up with a voice to try to fool the pizza delivery guy or something like that. King Friday kind of talk like this. Like, oh, come on, man.
that's the best take I've ever heard.
It's like, what you played about Joey Ramone's guitar licks. It was punk rock for puppets.
Yeah, he was still punk rock. But as an individual, yes. I mean, just the embodiment of kindness and being a calm voice in this just chaos of television. So
I can't believe they don't stream those on Netflix now. You know, come on, we should be streaming Fred Rogers over TikTok. Like, it should be a permanent live feed.
Or like the way people do Bob Ross on YouTube. Like, those are all everywhere now. I mean, I'm not sure who has the rights and how, but it does seem like if there was ever something that, you know, both kids and adults that may be a little nervous and anxious about things, what could possibly be more calming than having Fred Rogers on in the background?
I met Mr. McFeely when I was young. So
really?
I don't know.
Wow.
If he's definitely on the Mount Rushmore of postal carriers.
Okay, so Michael and Richard, going into your third
choice, Iron City Beer.
There you go.
Now, there are a lot of beers that people in their particular city associate with themselves. You know, in Chicago, it's Old Style. I guess in Philadelphia, it's Yingling, correct?
Yes.
That'd be correct? Yes. Here in Los Angeles, I guess we've got Golden Road. That's probably the closest to a a local brand that we've got. And but I don't know that there is a beer city connection that is more prevalent than Iron City in Pittsburgh. It's just the two seem to go hand in hand. And I don't know what that says about the city of Pittsburgh. I mean, maybe old Milwaukee with Milwaukee, but that's because they're all alcoholics there. And here's the thing. I've being a connoisseur of cheap beer, I've had Iron City before. And you know what? It's fine.
Wow.
It's good. It's a good beer. But you know, so's Old Style. So's Golden Road. So's okay, maybe not Old Milwaukee, but but it's just something I think about. There's something about beer that people take civic pride in in their city that is, and you know, and people do it about their sandwiches and they do it about their pizza and about any other food and kind of drink. But for some reason with beer, I mean, if you did a blind taste test with most people, I don't know that they would be able to tell an Iron City from another brand of beer. I don't know that. But if you tell them this is Iron City, I think a lot of people in Pittsburgh would be very protective of it.
Okay. Wow. All right.
When I worked, I'll try to make this a long story short. When I worked in Manhattan and I lived in New Jersey and worked in the overnight shift, there was one distributor in Manhattan that had Iron City, and it was like a block south of Houston. So I worked in Midtown, worked the overnight shift, get off at like 9 a.m., go downtown when this distributor opened, and they sold aluminum bottles, which was kind of cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
Case of aluminum bottles of Iron onto the subway and then onto the bus back to New Jersey. And I would probably do that once a season for like the playoffs or something. But so that was like, that was like 2002, 2003.
So it was a little slice of home for you.
Exactly. Like a case of it. I could drink a case of you, I think Joni Mitchell once said.
Yeah, it does. I think there's something to be said for the local water, the local flavor, the terroir of the area being captured in a.
Oh yeah, there's plenty of terroir in Iron City. I think is that a preservative?
Yeah, sure. all right, so okay, this is now Kyle and Greg. It's your chance to state your last choice, and then Michael and Richard will be able to rebut.
Oh geez, this is tough. So feel free to shoot me down, Kyle. I mean, it's my initial thoughts were something like Kennywood or something like those Permane Brothers sandwiches. But at the risk of something too vague and plain, I just have to say Pittsburgh sports, just in general. I mean, that's the thing that unites all of us across the entire country. I mean, you were talking about Damashek earlier. There's so many people, not just in Los Angeles, but elsewhere, that had to leave the city for one reason or another, and for 3 hours every Sunday or other days, if you can actually spend your time watching the Pirates or the Penguins, it's like your home again. I mean, it's, you know, for apparently the first part of the century, no matter what, as Pittsburgh, you know, went in the boom of steel, the Pirates were good and the other teams either didn't exist or were terrible. And then when steel left, that's when the Steelers dynasty rose. And then in the 90s, when the dot-com boom came to Pittsburgh, too, the Penguins had maybe their best teams. It's the old Howard Cosell line. When you play Pittsburgh, you play the entire city. I've lived in a lot of different places, and I've been there when their sports teams are doing well, and it's just not the same, whether it's because the cities are bigger or for whatever reasons that I don't know. But at the risk of being too vague, I will just say Pittsburgh sports in general.
No, that's great. Michael, we were texting before the show, and Michael had a thought, and I don't want to steal it from you, so I'll let you.
Which thought was it?
Oh, it was about just sort of Pittsburgh having three teams, pro teams.
Yeah, I think that Pittsburgh is the ultimate in like Nepo cities, and all these past glories have come down over the years to a city the size that's like the 68th ranked largest city by population in the United States. There's no way that any new team would be started there there was not this kind of great tradition of sports because of the Three Rivers and the importance that Pittsburgh has played in the history of America. But if like Pittsburgh just sprang out of nowhere and it was the size it was, I was wondering, like, would people have like, would the Daniel Sterns or the David Sterns and the
or the Daniel Roger Sterns Patels
and the Daniel with Daniel Sterns and the Joe Pesci's and the all the other people trying to break into your houses. I was just thinking of just that size of a city and how it has been so grandfathered in with an historical importance to like have these three teams and to have a population that like
supports it.
Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of games to play for a, you know, relatively kind of mid-sized town. I don't know, but I think it must speak to, you know, the black and gold that kind of crosses all three teams, that kind of singular bonding experience of being a medium-sized town that you can kind of wear everything at the same time to every sporting event and it seems like you're gonna fit in. I don't know,
30% of the GDP is dependent on sports bars. Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, it's also what is it, because I've heard these arguments in the context of the Pirates and why they should spend more money because the owner refuses to, but it's like if you expand out from the city to like Western Pennsylvania, it goes up slightly in those population rankings. Not a lot. Everything you said is still valid, but it goes up just a little bit if you include like up to Erie or something like that. I forget. Someone was arguing this with me once in the context of that's why the Pirates should have more money than they do. And I was like, that's not about population. That's about one guy.
Right. Before we get off the Pittsburgh sports topic, I want to just get your guys' opinion as Pittsburghers. Yager or Lemieux, if you had to do a Lemieux sport.
Really? I mean, it's Yager's an incredible talent, but Lemieux was almost, I mean, I was fortunate enough and blessed enough to see them both play in person, and Yager's incredible, one of the greatest players to ever step on skates. Lemieux was something genuinely supernatural. I mean, I'll never understand to a man who was 6'5" and the best player on the ice can simply just disappear and reappear in another place. I mean, the goalie scores the game winner of game two of the 92 final against the Blackhawks is always an example, I think, of that. And the thing is, I also know this because we just had the ceremony. Yager would agree with me on that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the reason why I thought of it. I knew that you just had the ceremony for Yager a couple of weeks ago, so.
Okay, but Yager still has some more games left. He's going to try to catch up to those numbers.
Mm-hmm. He's playing for that team he owns somewhere over there in whatever we're calling the Czech Republic now. Yes.
Yeah, Jeff. Yarmir Yager is like 52 now. Yeah, and he's still playing.
Oh wow!
In mm-hmm. Europe.
Wow. Okay, that's exceptional. That's amazing.
He's still playing in Europe as well. So.
It's all the terroir that he drank. Michael and Richard are going to do their last choice, but in the interim, feel free, Kyle and Greg, to tune out because I want you to tell me about music from Pittsburgh before we leave, because I'm looking at, I Googled.
Thank you.
Okay.
Jeff Hopkins.
All right.
Thank you so much. You have led into my final topic, which is more of a question, which as the judge, you've teed it up beautifully. How have there been zero bands that have ever come out of Pittsburgh? Okay. Well, and like, I was looking down the list and I was like, okay, Lorelei, I know them. And I was like, oh no, I just know the Cocteau Twins song, Lorelei. And I was like, okay, what was the other one that I saw? It was Juliana Theory. And I was like, oh no, I'm thinking of the Juliana Hatfield 3. And then I was like, okay, I've got to go as far back as the Dell Vikings with like Come Go With Me and Whispering Bells to find a band that I recognize from Pittsburgh. So how is it that was just all of the funds gone into schools and zero funds went into like a music production or music classes?
A few artists have slipped through the cracks of your
Please educate me.
Let me bring to your attention to a 90s band, Rusted Roots.
Oh, God.
Sail Away. What was this? Not Sail Away. It comes, what was the song?
Send Me On My Way. Send Me On My Way was the name of that song.
they had a flute player, I think, or they had one of those.
They might have had two flute players. Yeah, there were like eight dudes on that stage.
Right? Now this isn't a proper Metro Pittsburgh band, but Live was certainly a central Pennsylvania artist. If the locals in Pittsburgh, of course, all know a band called the Clarks, who have been thriving on the scene for
decades.
But the king of Pittsburgh music and the biggest hit maker is one Donnie Iris, whose song "Oh Leah" was a number hit in the
70s. Jeff, please find a picture for our YouTube people. Please find a picture of Donnie Iris.
Donnie Iris coming right up.
Because he is the least, if it's who I'm thinking of, he is the least rock star looking rock star.
He basically, that would be correct, Richard. Yes.
He basically looks like Earl Camembert.
Oh,
the SCTV newscaster. Yeah. Brought to life as a rock star.
That's wow.
He does. He absolutely looks like, Mel's rock pile.
rock pile, yes.
Kyle, I would say you win the award for not debating a point, or debating a point for the other side with what you just did. You took the shovel they were digging and just dug deeper.
I just imagine that there is just like a Pittsburgh school board person that has been fighting like against like big sports for like just against the jocks for since the 1960s. Just like, can we get any money to develop any sort of guitar playing or any sort of like musical anything? And they're like, no, we need some new bass. So
yeah.
No one's gonna
think it's
gonna. Well, okay. Want to help Pittsburgh artists? You can stream my bands on.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, what a good.
Yeah. Song. Well, let's plug Kyle. Plug Greg and Kyle. Plug anything you want to right now, because we're gonna wrap it up with the announcement of the winners.
I mean, you know, I've got two stand-up albums on Spotify or iHeart or whatever you listen to, Pandora. If you like stand-up comedy, listen to Kyle Kreis Is Fake News or King Size. Those are my two albums. I mean, if you really want to listen, if you want to dig up my rock bands, just look on my website or something. I don't think anyone's going to be that curious.
Awesome. And Greg, I know you were also appearing at a career day at a local grade school or something like
that. Yes, yes. I'll be on Zoom at not local. It'll be in Washington, D.C., apparently. I'll be in Alaska for the Alaska Before You Die Comedy Festival the first week of April. And I'm at Comedy Heights in San Diego on the third Friday and Saturday in May.
Man, that's awesome.
I heard the comedy festival is a trap for vampires. They bring you up when it's dark season.
It's 30 days of night. That's why I'm going to be. I'm actually performing in the stand up pants down show. So I'll be performing in my underwear on one of those shows. That's actually not a joke. So that's, I will be doing that.
That's exciting.
So if you're listening in the Anchorage area and you're like, that guy's head looks all right, I bet he's funny in his underwear. Come on out Friday night, April 5th.
All right, gents. So this has been a tremendous opportunity. But here are the winners. The Mount Rushmore of Pittsburgh. Yeah. Oh, shoot. It's not fitting in there, is it? This is the top four. Zombie movies, George. This is a pretty much almost a clean sweep for Kyle and Greg.
What
zombie
movies.
Who judged that?
Sorry. Sorry. Let me just update it. Sorry, update it. Did it update? Not music. Okay. Michael and Richard get one in there. Not music. So sorry, I hadn't hit save. The Mount Rushmore. Points. Steel, Fred Rogers, because we love him. And then Michael and Richard get a point for not music, which is which is a thing. So gentlemen, what Yin's talking about is coming. It's this March Sadness. Is that what's coming up? March Sadness?
Yeah, March Sadness. You got to really, not even Steeler fans are going to be into this. You have to be into like Steeler history and stuff. Why? I don't know what I'm doing. This is like the cosplay comedy of Steeler podcast.
Self-sabotage is a good trait. Yeah. Yeah, don't let other people sabotage yourself. Just do it to yourself. That's right. Well, I appreciate you gentlemen coming on the podcast, and I hope others who are all of our followers migrate over to yours and enjoy that. And this has been the Mount Rushmore of Pittsburgh. I'm always Jeff.
I'm Richard.
I'm Michael.
I'm Kyle. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah. All right. Take it easy. Have a good night.
Cool. All right.